Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are so glad you are here, and remember, we are the resistance. Eric, I was thinking as that music was playing just now, you know, that's kind of like the theme song. I remember when I kind of, you know, picked this music out and kind of got things, a sound that I really liked.
Yeah.
But I remember as a kid, you know, when a theme song came on to like one of your favorite shows, you knew it. Like we memorize. I do this name that tune stuff when I'm on the road, right? We're always like, hey, do you know this tune? And you have to hum it and they have to guess it. But when I was a kid, my favorite was dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It was Batman, right?
Batman.
Yeah. And I think he was my superhero. I asked you before we went on mic today, I said, did you ever have like a superhero?
So outside of Ronald Reagan, I would say...
Will.
I always liked Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah. He had a cool car.
And the A-Team.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of mine, but...
Was it Mr. T in that?
Mr. T?
Yeah.
I mean, I was a little kid in the 80s, but I, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, what are we about, like 20 years apart?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Well, you still know Batman.
Well, Batman's still current.
Yeah, what do they even have? Like, who would be the superheroes today? I don't watch that much television. I mean, like, to me, like Navy SEALs or something would be like my heroes now.
Yeah.
They don't get a lot of the glory. You know that they're Navy SEALs and what they've done, but you don't know their identities.
I think currently it's probably the Marvel characters, if I had to guess.
Oh,
if you ask a kid, I mean, they're not going to say Optimus Prime. Well, they might. They're still making Transformer movies, but probably one of the Marvel characters. I don't know.
There was a, like on social media, it says, who's your Marvel character or something? Now, maybe this is not Marvel. I don't know. Maybe you would know because this wasn't my generation. But was it Hawkeye? Was he? Who was the guy that shot the bow and arrow?
Hawkeye.
Yeah. That and Thor were my two favorite that came off of those shows.
I like the guy that wanted to get rid of half the population. I just thought he was maybe onto something, but, you know, one of those misunderstood
I'm going to start calling you Mr. Demento.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't even know who that is, but it sounds great.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of that you're back here in this office in this little, you know, kind of a shadowy place.
And, yeah.
I liked Batman, I think, because you had Bruce Wayne, who you didn't know he was Batman.
Right.
And that's what I think I like, because we all have this like identity that's inside of us.
Sure.
That like, you know, if called upon, it could come to light, you know, if we needed it. And I think that's what I like, because there was something inside Batman that made him Batman.
Sure.
And he had the cool toys too.
I'm going to throw another one out there that we'll see if any of the listeners get. Another one of my, I guess, heroes that would hide behind an identity. Jackie Daytona.
I have no clue who that is.
Someone that listens will know who Jackie Daytona is, the regular human bartender.
I'm going to look this up after the podcast today.
All right.
Jackie Daytona.
Regular human bartender. Yep.
Wow. I'll check that out. Well, guys, it's good to be back with you. We are in the month of May now. It's awesome. Things are turning green. I don't know about you, but man, when the brown and the deadness of winter start to give way and the leaves are not, everything's green, you know, it makes me more hopeful. It's getting nice out and get outside. And yeah. Well, hey, let's start off today with a question to kind of get things rolling. So we just talked about heroes. So let me ask you all a question. You can email us at podcast@unleashed.men because we want to know who your heroes were. But how many of you did have heroes when you were growing up? I would assume most of us did. We always had someone. It could have been your dad. It could have been an uncle. It could have been like one of those Marvel guys or whatever. But what about them made them heroes to you? And then what about them did you want to be like? You know, I talked about Batman, how he kind of had this hidden identity, but when it was called upon, you know, he could do really cool stuff. And I like to kind of, I want to think that I have that ability, you know, myself, if I was called, you know, up to have to step up for my wife or my family or my country or whatever. But here's another question. How many of you long to be the hero in your own story? And then the follow-up is, how many of you feel like you're failing at that? If you feel like you're failing at that, you know, where is that voice coming from telling you that you aren't the hero in your story, that's whispering in your ear that you're not capable of that? Now, what does God say about you? Do you feel like God has a divine purpose for you? Does he have like a, I remember being asked this, do you ever feel like you have a destiny? There was 10 of us in a room, and it was a guy named Bill Thrall. I was in a cohort with about 10 guys, and the question was posed, do you ever feel like, you know, you have a destiny? And about half the people went, I don't know. But if you don't feel like you have a destiny, that in other words, God put you here for a reason, why don't you feel that way? Because Scripture tells us that God did make us with a divine purpose. You know, we've got to detach our worth and value from those around us that would bring us down, you know, maybe emasculate us. And then we have to surround ourselves with those who will call us up. You know, that band of brothers we've talked about in here, those guys are going to challenge us. They're going to hold us capable, maybe equip and empower us, you know, to be the best versions of ourselves, you know, that we can be. And I think that's a goal that we all want to know, that when we're called upon, we do have what it takes. So what would it even look like if we could separate out what others have said about us or to us from who God says we really are? Okay, so now I want to take you back as far as you can remember when someone maybe used like a derogatory, you know, name towards you. You know, what was it? What was that name? You know, one of the names, because I was this little skinny kid, like the next to the smallest kid in my class. You notice I said next to, for some reason I found something out of that when I was a kid. I guess I wasn't the smallest, but I was that small skinny kid that I couldn't compete with the larger boys. I was younger than most of the kids in my class. And so, you know, I didn't understand that at the time. It's just, I was small, skinny. And there was a nickname that they gave me. Like I said, it was called Brant the Ant, was the nickname that they gave me. And I hated it because, you know, you can step on an ant and squish an ant. But they called me, you know, Brant the Ant. Yeah, I think that was probably the root of why, like, when I got into my teen years, you know, I wanted to get involved in the martial arts and, you know, that kind of stuff, because I didn't want to be picked on. You know, even though you were this small little kid, there you go, Batman. No one knew this one identity that was inside of him that could come to light if needed. Maybe that was the superhero that I wanted to be. And so I got into the martial arts, and then it just didn't stop. You know, I got into my late 40s, and I started getting a lot more serious about, you know, weightlifting. You think that would be something you'd be doing more in your teens or 20s, but it kind of hit me probably about 47, right around that time, 48 years of age. And I have been, you know, I've been lifting 6 days a week almost ever since then. But it's funny, you know, because when I look in the mirror even now, you know, I can miss all those muscle gains that I've made from all the hard work that I've done, and I'll end up only picking out like the body parts that I don't like. And I kind of see myself sometimes through that lens rather than, you know, all the gains that I've made. And it's those derogatory names maybe that when we were growing up that can stick with us. And those old nicknames, they can kind of unwillingly be adopted by us. And we don't only carry them into adulthood, but we can carry those for the rest of our lives, you know, if we don't find healing for it. It was 2003 when I went to my first Wild at Heart boot camp in Colorado. During that weekend, it was author John Eldridge. That was his book. He instructed all of us. He wanted us to get a notebook and a pen, and he wanted us to go out into the mountains to find a place where we could get alone with God. You know, no other men to talk to, just a beautiful place to get alone with God. And what we were going to be doing at that point was we were going to be inviting God into those wounded places to hear from our Heavenly Father who we really are to Him. Because as he was talking about, names really matter. You know, like we said, you hear Batman, Superman, whatever, you see strength, you see courage. And so those names really do matter. Matter of fact, they matter so much that it's even talked about in Scripture. And this is Revelation 2:17. It says, to everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. Now hear this. And I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows but the one who receives it. How cool is that? You know, our parents name us, you know, on this earth. You know, my son, you know, Garrett Michael, it was, you know, who is like God? You know, I would giving his name and mighty warrior that had meaning to his name. But how cool is it that God gives us a new name that No one knows but the one who receives it. But then you kind of get to, well, then how do I find that name? How do I hear that name? In that session before we all went out into the wilderness to ask God for our true name, John had one of his ministry team. His name was Craig McConnell. He got up and he spoke of a name that was given to him as a child. And his derogatory name was Seagull. And he went on in tears about how he was told he was just like a seagull. And forgive me my language for this, but I want to share it so you have the impact of what he was called. He was called Seagull because all he was good for was sitting, squawking, and sorry for the language, but I didn't want the lesson or the impact of the pain he felt because of that was his father figure that had called him that. And that's what he told him. He was no good for anything but that. And that's what he believed about himself for so many years. And I'm going to tell you more about Craig later and how God would, he'd cross our paths in a really amazing, miraculous way. Just a few years after this episode of where we were going out into the mountains. So I know a lot of you guys, I've seen, when I've been out doing events, you've seen me speak live. And one of the movie scenes I want to talk about is Gladiator. It's the scene where Maximus, once the greatest general in Rome, is taken away, as we know, in the dark of night to be killed by Commodus so that Commodus can now become Caesar. Commodus, if you remember, murdered his own father, nice guy, so he could take over the power. In addition into having Maximus taken away to be killed, he also has Maximus' wife and son murdered. I think they were crucified and then hung at the entrance of Maximus' property. Well, Maximus is found dying. He wasn't killed that night. He fights his way out and he's picked up and he's made to become a slave, a gladiator, who's going to fight in the Colosseums. And eventually he comes back and because he's so good and he fights in front of Commodus, the new Caesar, who doesn't know Maximus is still alive. When Maximus has defeated every man that they throw at him, Commodus wants to meet this amazing warrior, this gladiator. And so at one point, Commodus instructs this gladiator to take off his helmet. He goes down and meets him in the arena. He says, take off your helmet and tell us your true name. Well, Maximus, declines. He turns his back and walks away, which absolutely enrages Commodus. And he yells, "Slave, you will take off your helmet and tell us your name." This is when the heart of every man watching this clip engages. We plug in. Because his response, as you know what's coming, is one that is only spoken by a man who knows who he really is, his one true name, and that one that he embraces and lives out of. As he turns around, you feel it. And he says, "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix Legions, and loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." I mean, when I show that clip, and the guys in the room, they feel it. I mean, you can feel the power, because he knows he is staring into the face of death at this moment. And he couldn't care less. "Go ahead, kill me. I will never bow down to you." And the power of a man who knows who he really is when he speaks like that is like, at this moment, death smiles at Maximus and he just smiles back. Don't you want to be a man like that? Here's the truth. You are, but you have to find that man. And it's going to take confronting some things about yourself that you don't like, maybe things that others have said to you, and it's going to be a humbling process. It's going to be a rebuilding process as you surrender those names about yourself that you've embraced and allowed to control you for all these years. Maybe that name came from a schoolmate, something like wimp, mama's boy, or I was called, pussy. I hated that. Maybe it came from your spouse when she emasculated, you about something that made you feel inadequate, right? Every man wants to be that knight in shining armor for his wife. And if, she's constantly criticizing him or cutting him down with her words, he withholds, words of life or sex or whatever, that man starts to become a shell of himself and who he once was and who he was created to be because he doesn't feel like he's good enough. She can also move him to great things with her words and her beauty. That's the power that God put when he made Eve. But a man has to know what his true name is to God and allow God to be the source from which he draws that one true identity from. You know, whatever, whoever, and wherever your wound came from, it's time to get in touch with who you really are, because you were made for greatness. You, my friend, were made with a purpose. You were made to be strong and courageous, and you were made to inspire and lead other men who've fallen prey to the lies of the enemy. You know, something I believe is that God wants to initiate us as sons and warriors. And he wants us to know that name that he has just for us, that name only he is qualified to give, was designed just for us. You know, after that Wilder Heart trip I was just telling you about, I was on a plane coming back. I think it was actually the second Wild at Heart boot camp that I had gone to. I had gone to like three of these different camps. And I hadn't heard, you know, that new name from God, you know, when I went out in the wilderness and tried to find it. Because they were saying, you know, maybe God, you're God's Maximus, you're his William Wallace, or maybe you're his Batman or whatever. I wasn't hearing anything. You know, I couldn't come up with a thing. I didn't feel anything. And I was just trying so hard that it just didn't feel real. It felt like I was the one trying to make it up. But when the name did come, it didn't come when I was like on the top of a snow-covered mountain or like on the still waters of a lake. It came to me on that plane. God, on that plane with everything else, you know, going on, spoke to me and told me that I was his warrior poet. You know, at first I tried to convince myself that I was hearing things. Because honestly, if that was the name I was looking for, I would choose that name. I mean, I love that name, warrior poet. I mean, because I love writing and I love doing battle for the hearts of men. But here's what's amazing. I had been reading a book, and as that name came to me, before I turned the page, that name came to me. And as I turned the page, at the very top of the page, the name warrior poet jumped off the page right at me. And you can feel it. I got these chills. I went, no way. You know, I could believe that God would plant that name in my head, but then just seconds later on a different page, he would reaffirm that it was my name that he'd given to me. And it wasn't only a name. That was an identity, warrior poet. It wasn't like just a like John or Tom or whatever. That name's an identity. And I would be a warrior poet, and you know, and I'd end up going on and speaking and writing, you know, to the hearts of men all over the world. I mean, even this podcast we're doing now it was an outcropping or whatever you want to call it of what God has been doing. And he spoke to me like several more times. He said, Brent, I want you to go back and read that again. I want you to know it is me that is telling you this. And that was the beginning of a much deeper relationship with God for me. It was one that deepened my ability to hear him when he would speak to me. Some of the stories you've heard me in the podcast were that one where the bear, I had to change the path three times. God told me to go a different way and spared me from getting to a location where I'd end up having to kill the bear before it could kill me. But that was where this all came out of, because I was able to hear the voice of God. Well, 10 years later, after this retreat, I was hunting in the mountains of Colorado with my dear friend, and you've heard him on the podcast a couple times, Roger Medley. And we've been sleeping under the stars in sleeping bags and bivy sacks and up in the Rocky Mountains for about a week. And Roger and I would always have amazing conversations about God and about men's ministry, and we would be hiking as we'd be talking about this stuff, because it's something that we are passionate. We loved elk hunting. We love the adventure of being out there, but at our core, that warrior poet spirit was in both of us. But here's what's really cool. During that week, the Holy Spirit kept putting someone on my mind to pray for every single day of the hunt. And it wasn't a close friend. It wasn't a family member. It was actually a man I'd only met once or twice while I was attending the Wild at Heart boot camps and the thing they had called advanced leader training. And it was at these conferences where we were near Buena Vista, Colorado. But anyhow, God kept bringing this name, and the name was Craig McConnell, to mind and to pray for him. And I didn't know why, but I told Roger about this, and we kept praying for him each time God would bring him to mind. Now, if you remember the story earlier where I was talking about being sent out into the mountains to ask for our new name, Craig McConnell was the one who had stood up and done the teaching on the new name, and then the one who had invited us at that retreat to go out and ask God who we really were. Well, I had met him twice, and it was only in passing, nice to meet you, you know, can I have your autograph kind of a thing way back then. But we kept praying for him, and I had no idea why the Holy Spirit kept bringing his mind, name to my mind. But after coming out of the mountains, we were done with the hunt that week. Roger dropped me off at a Starbucks in Colorado Springs before my flight was going to take off because he had a few things he had to do. He said, I'll be back in a couple hours, whatever. And as I sat there, you know, just kind of taking in the sunlight, and I look up and Pike's Peak is glistening with these snow-covered peaks like directly in front of me. It was incredible. So I pull out my phone and I take a picture. I set my Starbucks cup on the table. And with that, with Pike's Peak in the background, you know, I kind of get this because I wanted to put this picture on social media to kind of show like how big is our God. You know, at this moment, I'm getting to be with God in the majesty of this incredible mountain. Well, before Roger had dropped me off there, he said, hey, you know that ministry office for Wild at Heart where Craig McConnell works is here in Colorado Springs. He goes, you know, maybe you could go look and see if, you know, if Craig's around, you know, maybe find out why God was having you, you know, pray for him. And I remember I made some lame excuse to Roger, like, you know, I don't want to come across as some fan, right? I'm sure they get, you know, lots of that kind of stuff. But here's where the story gets really interesting. As I was taking the picture of that cup on the mountain, God brought Craig to mind again, right then. And in that very moment, now I had taken the picture, I looked at my picture on the phone, God brings him to mind, and in that very moment I said to God, I said, God, if you want me to talk to Craig, you'll have to bring him to me. I'm not going there. I, no kidding, no sooner said that than I took the picture, and guess who comes walking across the parking lot and was about to pass my table? Yeah, it was Craig. I mean, at first I was like, this can't be real. I recognize him instantly, very recognizable face. And when I spoke to him, you know, he kind of nicely tried to bypass the conversation. And he told me he was late for a meeting inside of Starbucks. And quietly, I'm jealous because I've always wanted to work with that ministry, you know, and I, for 20 some years now, I've always longed for that, but God didn't take my path there. He's had me doing what I've been doing. You know, that's the name God had for me doing what I'm doing. And so I'm being obedient. But when I told him, as he was passing the table, when I told him that when I wasn't from around here and that God had me praying for him all week while I was up on the mountain elk hunting, he stops, he looked at me, and he goes, hey, hold on just one second. He walks in Starbucks, comes back out, and he says, I told the guys I'd be in a few minutes. He said, tell me this again. And I said, Craig, I said, I have no idea. I know nothing about you except for what I saw at the retreats. But God had me praying for you every day, and he just brought you to my table when I said, if you want me to see Craig, you'll have to bring him to me, and here you are. And the look on his face, and he sat down, and tears started to fill his eyes, and he told me that he had been diagnosed with cancer and that things weren't looking good. Wow. Craig, he would pass away not too long after that. But Craig was a man that I respected because he was willing to stand up and share his pain. Remember the seagull story? And he did that, you know, in front of a group of 400 men repeatedly. Every time they would have a retreat, he would share this story. And his strength to be able to do that, to be vulnerable, to open that up and tell his story like that, that helped me find my true self. And it helped me find my true name only given by God. As I'm getting ready to wrap up for this week, let me just take a couple minutes here, but I want to share one final thought. Stacy, my wife, we were doing our couple's devotional Bible study a few days ago, and it's from a book actually by John and Stacy Eldridge. It's called Wild About You. Imagine that. We were doing something else by him. But in that day's lesson, there was something about Maximus from the movie Gladiator and about the power of knowing who you really are, you know, who you are to God. And in one of the follow-up questions, because there's always two questions for the woman, two questions for the man after you read each person's section, there were these follow-up questions. And the first one said, you know, in what ways do you resemble Maximus? Well, you know, I love to look the part, right? You know, because you want to look like the warrior. I wanted to be able to quote his best speech. You know, I love being able to say my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, all that stuff. You know, I've even got a replica of that two-edged sword that he uses in the movie. My son got it for me for Christmas. Awesome sword. And it would probably be true, too, to say that I want to fight for the hearts of men. But then the second of the two questions says, In what particular ways do you fail to resemble Maximus? Whoa. Yeah, I knew this was going to be hard because I honestly didn't want to answer that in front of my wife. I mean, who wants to say in what ways are you failing? You know, and to her, I want to not just resemble Maximus. I know I want to be him in real life. I want to be that knight in shining armor for my wife. And I know I fail at that so many times. You know, right before we did the devotional, I had gone back and I looked up a clip because I was making a post on social media about it. It was from the movie The Patriot. And there's this scene. It's during the Revolutionary War. You've got the Americans were being like ruthlessly slaughtered by this British commander. And the young hunk of a guy, you know, he's like the Benjamin Martin was the famous soldier everyone knew from the French Indian War and all this stuff. Well, his son, Gabriel Martin, you know, he's the son of this famous soldier. And he's recruiting men to come and help fight because they're needing men. They're going to be taken over. And so he walks into this church service, you know, and as he's riding up, there's these bodies of these slain villagers just hanging outside the entrance. That's how the clip starts. You can look it up on YouTube and you can even just type that in. I want to invite you to do that as a matter of fact. Just look up The Patriot, the church scene, and I think it's like 4 minutes and 1 second long, but it is absolutely worth watching. And as he walks in, he interrupts the pastor to request help from the men in the congregation. Because if they don't help out, they're not only going to lose their freedom, but it's going to cost the lives of many men that if they won't stand up and fight. So in that scene, you know, Gabriel's soon-to-be bride, you know, she stands up in the congregation after no men will stand and reminds them of how big their talk is behind closed doors. You know, they can talk the talk, but will they walk the walk? But how now, when they're needed the most, you know, they're cowering. You know, they've gone totally, the men just sit there, they're silent. And she stands up and she gives this incredible speech. You know, we think about the Maximus speech. But guys, you and I both know that a woman can be courageous. You don't want to mess with Mama Bear. And when she stands up and she gives this, she is passionate. And there's something about the beauty of a woman when it's not only on the outside, but when you see that passion on the inside that's calling men to stand up and to do something different, to do something better, to be who they were created to be. She was direct. She was pleading. And it moves the men to step up and do what's right. I mean, one after another. You know, you see these men begin to stand, and then their sons would stand beside them, and the father would put his arm around his son, you know, and I mean, I feel it right now, even as I'm saying this, because they're volunteering to become a part of the resistance, a resistance to stand in the face of tyranny. And men, that is what we need today. That's why we keep doing these podcasts every day. I say every single week, men, your voice, your strength is needed. I don't know if you guys have been following all these protests on these universities. What in the world has been happening to our country? You know, this week I saw a group of, I think it was UNC students, and the American flag was being taken down. I think it was by the anti-Israel protesters. And this band of brothers, these college students surround the flag and won't let them take it down. These guys stepped up and were willing to do whatever it was going to take. They were being like Maximus. And if we don't stand up for what we believe in, I want to challenge you because we've lost our moral compass. You know, in that final clip from The Patriot, you see, I love this. You see the pastor of the church come out the front door. He turns back toward the parishioners. He had this wig on like you would see back then. They would wear these, you know, like these gray long wigs. He takes it off and exchanges it for a Continental Army hat and a musket. And I love what he says, because we always think about, you know, pastors as being, you know, these good, safe men. Well, they are good, safe men. But when called upon, when you're battling against tyranny, battling against the enemy, that question, do we have what it takes? Are we willing to stand up and speak out for what we know isn't right? And here's how he explains to his congregation why he's going with these men to fight. He says, a shepherd must tend his flock and at times fight off the wolves. Guys, during the month of May, I'm putting out a challenge to you guys, and we started it last week. And first, what I'm asking you for is I want you to pray for this podcast and for the Unleashed ministry. You know, we're going everywhere. I'm going to be in Des Moines, Iowa here coming up in just about a little over a week. I think that's on the 16th. And then I'm going to be in on the 18th. I'm going to be in Muncie, Indiana. You can find more. I'll make sure you can go to my Facebook page and I'll post all this stuff. But I'm asking you to pray for us because we need to see men equipped and empowered to go make a difference. And second, what we really need, and this is the part that's always the hardest thing for me to say, we do need your financial support. Because what we're trying to do is develop transformational discipleship content and materials that are going to be going out to these men who are ready and willing to step up. Keyword, willing. You know, some are called to be on the front lines and some are called to be those armor bearers. And some of those guys are the guys that do have the finances, but they want to see others equipped to go. You know, whatever your role is, are you willing? Are you ready? Are you willing to step up just like those men in the church and make a difference? So if you feel called to support what we're doing, you can go to unleashed.men. You can click on the donate button. You'll see it there. And it goes through a 501c3, so it's tax deductible. And the other way you can support this ministry is to become a part of the resistance by subscribing to the Unleashed Plus podcast. You know, Unleashed is free. You guys that are listening, you know that. But Unleashed Plus gives you all kinds of other content materials to help you grow in your walk. There's prize giveaways as well. It's $9.99 a month, one of the ways you can support the ministry. That's like the price of a burger at Wendy's. Or if you want to save like $20, it's $99 for the year. But if you join for the year, let me tell you what you do get. You also get a free Unleashed t-shirt that says, you know, we are the resistance. And when you sit with warriors, the conversation is different. It's an amazing conversation starter. So, you know, God gave me a number of $40,000, which I've never in my life said that out loud. I feel like a TV evangelist. But when God spoke to me and he gave me my new name, when he spoke to me on that mountainside and said, I need you to pray for Craig, and then he brought Craig in front of me, I know there is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing impossible with him. Why $40,000? I have no clue. I have no idea what that's about. But I do know that God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and with him, all things are possible. We need your help. So guys, I want to end with this creed. It's our Unleashed Creed. When a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous, dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. You have what it takes. We'll see you next time.